Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
This whole situation is on me. I feel terrible for Gerard because I put him in an untenable situation. I know that he has all the tools as a head coach to be successful in this league. He just needed more time before taking the job. In the end, I'm a fan of this team first, and now I have to go out and find a coach who can get us back to the playoffs and hopefully championships.
High noon here on WEEI. That was Robert Kraft yesterday at the press conference explaining as best he could the firing of Gerard Mayo after one season in New England. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. It is a Tom E. Tuesday, which means we're joined right now by Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by D'Angelo's Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop, and by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180, a once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way home from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss at Awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tom?
Tom, hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, Tom?
What's up? How are you?
Hey, yeah, I'm telling you, for some reason, have Billy call me back, because for some reason my phone keeps glitching and I'm in the same spot I always am. And when I talk to you guys, I will be right back.
Okay. No problem. Stay tuned. Go nowhere. Tommy Curran will be joining us right back with his glitchy phone.
Was Tom the only one to get two questions?
I think so.
That's pretty good.
It was.
You know?
Not to
power rank the beat reporters, but if you're getting two questions, you'd have to be probably number one.
A lot of power and influence there. Yeah. He has a Quick Slants poll up now on Twitter, which I wanted to ask him about, but let's bring this up in the meantime. He's asking about the next coach of the Patriots. Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, other. And other, he says, write in, explain yourself.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right now, healthy sample, almost 3,000 votes. Mike Vrabel is 54%. Ben Johnson, 44%. I'm rounding a bit here. Other is 3%.
So, yeah, really those two. It's what people like. It's funny because I think there are some people maybe scared away by just former Patriots after Mayo. But then there's also some afraid of first-year head coaches because of Mayo, right? And so, like, Vrabel and Johnson each have sort of a strike against them if you look at it that way.
So 54% say Mike Vrabel in the Quick Slants poll. You can check out Tommy Curran tonight on Quick Slants, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us again here on Jones and Keefe. Any better, Tom?
Seems to be.
Okay.
Seems to be much better. And I think that's... I'm surprised by that poll to an extent. I thought that it would be more lopsided in favor of Vrabel. I knew that there was certainly a big sentiment for Johnson and the things that he brings to the table, but I thought it would be more convincing in the direction of Mike Vrabel.
So your colleague on the beat, Mark Daniels, says that he's told the plan is for Vrabel to interview with the Patriots this week. According to a source, Ben Johnson will also be interviewing with the Patriots. He's agreed to an interview with the Patriots. I know you tweeted yesterday, it'd be way, way, way presumptuous to assume that Vrabel is the guy here in New England. Do you think he's the favorite?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think he is the preferred candidate and favorite for the team. But there's just so many different things that can happen, I would think, with this process. So until it's done, it's not done, as anybody can tell. But when you look at the other places out there, what do you like about those other spots, whether it be Chicago, New Orleans, Jacksonville, a missing one, Jets would be the other one. What do they have in common? And Vrabel articulated in an article with The Athletic last week that he wants to be comfortable and have an open line of communication with ownership. He also believes that you either have to have a very good quarterback or a pathway to finding one. And then finally, he needed to have people who shared his vision with X's and O's approach and team culture. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. When I look at that component of the team culture and the people in place that Robert Kraft stated would remain in place, Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf in the personnel department, it's hard to see how the visions will mesh smoothly with a new guy when in 2024, I find it a little bit dysfunctional towards the end of the year with the amount of finger pointing that's gone on.
So, yeah, how do you read it? Because Jones and I differ a little bit, because Kraft was asked, as you were there, asked a couple questions, but he was asked some of the same, he was asked some of the same questions multiple times, but gave different answers to them. So at first I read it as, whoever the new head coach is going to have a major, he's going to be able to pick his coaches and have a major say in the players. And then 30 seconds later, it was Elliot Wolf's going to be here. So how assured is Elliot Wolf of being here and in the same role, I guess, is maybe the more important question. Could Vrabel or Ben Johnson come in and say, hey, I really like person X and I want them to be in charge of player personnel. Elliot Wolf can hang around and have a different title, but like, I don't want him being the guy that has final say.
Yes, to the latter portion of what you're saying. And Phil Perry has spoken to some people, and that is the impression that that is what he was told, not the impression, that if an individual comes in, a candidate comes in and says, hey, this is my personnel vision. I want this individual to be heading up the personnel. This is what I want. Then they would perhaps hire that person and put Wolf in a more subsidiary role. I had it explained to me that, look, Elliot's not the GM. We believe that he should have more time because he was starting from a spot that was basically they were using typewriters and he's up to a fax machine because there was really the Bills' way of doing things in terms of grading, scouting, personnel. A lot of it was contained in his head is what Howell was explained to me. So the work was done, but the decisions were made based on how Bill believed things should go. So now they're trying to implement a much more organized and sophisticated scouting system with different grading systems. And there's a desire to see that take root. All that said, that doesn't mean that that scouting system with Elliot Wolf at the top of it is going to be the person who's going to be making the decisions. So all that said as well, yeah, they could hire somebody and say, Elliot, do your work. Show us what you got at the end of it. We'll see what we do. That is my presumption. If it goes great, they bring in good players who develop, then maybe the role continues past 2025. If not, then what usually happens in these organizations where slowly people are phased out who are from a previous regime would probably happen.
Do you have any
Was that a really crappy answer?
No, it makes sense. He would be on in a subsidiary role, but he's still here. I mean, they could have blown him out like the Titans just blew out their GM, and he's not. So I still think that's noteworthy. But he could be on in a subsidiary role.
I don't get the loyalty.
Yeah, me either. I'm with you on that. But let me ask you, do you understand or have an understanding of the appetite that Vrabel or Ben Johnson would have to working with Elliot Wolf?
Zero. Have no idea. But just based on... I can't imagine anyone wants a shotgun marriage or an arranged marriage, more specifically. I don't think there's even been any contact, so it can't be a shotgun. It would have to be an arranged marriage. And I don't think that Vrabel would have the interest in doing that necessarily unless he had every assurance that you're the boss. But again, to see the commentary from Elliot Wolf in that story with Henry McKenna last week, talking about we thought players would develop more,
yeah,
and we thought the coaching staff would do a better job, is just so – such a – and I hate the word bad look, but it's a bad look. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I'm sitting there today trying to get ready for Quick Slants, one of the things about this team and reflecting on some of Vrabel's comments is how much finger-pointing and blame-laying has gone on over the years. It was – and it was everybody. So it would be Bill blaming Tom blaming Bill, Robert crediting himself and blaming those two, then Bill blaming Mac and Mac blaming Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, and, you know, then everybody blaming Mayo and Mayo not really enjoying working for Bill at the end, and then Bill blaming Mayo for backstabbing him and Elliot Wolf blaming Mayo for not developing players. The only person who I have seen take 1 ounce of ownership was Robert Kraft yesterday. So they got to cut that crap out. The Machiavellian backstabbing, not my fault, not my baby crap. And you think it wouldn't be like that with a one voice organization, which Bill had. But once Bill started to see his power being chiseled away in 2021, then it became even more pronounced, the amount of finger pointing and blame laying. So this has become a very dysfunctional franchise, I think, because of the suspiciousness, distrust, and the fiefdoms which still exist.
You know, I know it's been a couple of days, but I still can't get over the fact that they blew the number one pick. Like, they blew, it was right there for them. All they had to do was lose, Tom. All these other teams around the league were losing. The team across the field lost just so you wouldn't get the number one pick. Does Kraft deserve blame for that? Like, if he knew he was going to fire Mayo, could he have fired Mayo before this, like, that week leading into the game, brought in an interim and been like, listen, we're losing this game. Obviously, don't go out there and embarrass yourself, but just lose the game and then assure yourself the top prize in April's draft?
Sure, he could have done that. But I just don't think that that's, I mean, that's so far beyond the pale of what you would normally do, because you had to be aggressively trying to lose to the Buffalo Bills. That's the ironic thing about
it. Shouldn't they have done that?
No, you can't. I mean, it's friggin' Vegas, DraftKings, you know, the league office. You cannot aggressively lose.
What did the Chiefs do? What did the Browns do? What did the Titans do?
They tried. They didn't win. The Bills aggressively laid down to make the Patriots win. I mean,
the Bills had a lead in the game, Tom. So once they have the lead, then, like, you can lose the game.
I don't know. We can go around and around.
Yeah, I guess. I think it's malfeasance. That's not a word I use very often.
Let me stick with the first part of Keith's question, which is, could they have fired Mayo before the game? And then you're not maybe actively having them tank it, but I think the message becomes pretty clear. Was there another way for Kraft to do it other than demanding the players go out there and try to lose?
Yeah, I just, again, everybody thinks Mayo is a cigar store Indian over there anyway. You're going to fire the coordinators too and all the players? I mean, they're going to try. They're still going to do the same job. You can tell someone to, as an interim, to go lose. I don't think the players are going to do that, period. And I just think it's so far beyond the pale to expect that that would be something that they would engage in. It's, to me, it's like we're talking about something that just isn't done and would reflect so crappily, I think, if you were really, because you had to be over the top trying to lose the football game. You had Joe Milton out there. You know, you're fumbling at the 15. Tell Joey Sly to miss. I don't know. I mean, you can't ask the players.
Or you go for it on fourth down. You don't kick field goals or something. I don't know. Normally I would agree with you.
What are we doing? I mean,
the number one pick is that important, Tom. Like, it's that important. And we're not saying, hey, lose every game for a year or for a month. Lose this one game.
How could they have lost the game? I can't come up with – we're a crossroads. But it's damaging to not get that.
Oh, it's huge.
It's damaging as hell to not have that because you have the opportunity. I will say this, see if you agree with this or not. The first overall pick right now, if the Patriots owned it, would be interesting to watch unfold because teams might go, well, they're not taking Milroe or Sanders. So what? Go ahead. Take Will Campbell or Travis Hunter. We're going to get the player we want here. I'm not going up there and giving you the booty that you think you're going to get. Not in the same way that would have happened last year. I'm not saying it's better. But I just don't know if the booty would have been there.
Well, the draft's not as good as last year, but I still think all it takes is two teams, right? Because you can't just sit there and be like, well, you're not going to take them. It's like, yeah, but somebody else will, or somebody else will trade with two or three or whatever. It's better than the fourth pick, at least. We can all agree on that. No?
Bye. Oh, no, I lost you again.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if we can't agree that the first pick's better than the fourth pick.
I agree.
It's better.
One greater than four. I'll fill in that gap for you there, Tom. Following up on your quick slant show poll, it's Ben Johnson, Mike Vrabel. Is it really a two-horse race? I know they have to go through the process and interview other people, but is it really just a two-horse race, or is there another name we should be keeping an eye on?
I would think that just the flavor of the month type folks like the Liam Cohens and Bobby Slowicks would probably emerge as people to bring up Clifford of Kingsbury. But I really don't think that they need to reinvent the wheel here. I think that we're considering Ben Johnson as a candidate to the extent that we are because the Patriots are interviewing him, but also because we're looking at, okay, they got Drake May, bring somebody in who's going to be – this team's problem extends beyond – and more importantly, I think, beyond the field and the players. It extends to an oozing of competency, an oozing of, hey, I got this, I'm in charge here, I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to give everything I can. And look, Bill Belichick did ooze that, but the personnel was so bad that you could not win at the end. And I think a lot of the self-embraced dysfunction that he engaged in with Mac Jones, the quarterback, and the coaching staff just didn't help. So you need to, I think, instead of Ben Johnson or Bobby Slowick or Cliff Kingsbury in his second go-round, bring somebody in who you know is a fit, who you have confidence in terms of his character, and who will be organized and purposed. So that to me is, I just don't know if it's staring you right in the face.
Yeah, I just feel like that's all. Isn't it the safest thing where I don't know how high the ceiling is, like on Vrabel? Like on Vrabel, like I'm not going to be upset if they bring in Vrabel, but I just think matching up one of those other guys that are all offensive kind of gurus, matching them up with Drake May, like that's the formula to really kickstart the next decade of this franchise.
You're right to an extent, but I don't think that. I think the head coach is more of a CEO, and it doesn't matter if they're going – it's who the OC is going to matter incredibly, especially if Vrabel is the head coach. Who is going to be the offensive coordinator to wring the innovation out of Drake May and get him to the next level, or a level that very few players reach? Can he be, you know, a top five player? He could. To me, I think the head coach is more of a tone setter, CEO. And, you know, Bill was a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant defensive mind. But he had Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel who were running his defense, Bill's defense. But he was able to delegate. Bill's gift was for culture setting, expectation setting, the one voice, getting players to adhere to the level of discipline and demand that he was putting on them. So to me, you can say it's better to hire an offensive head coach. What's Dan Campbell? You know, what is
offense?
What's Sean McDermott? Yeah. I mean, they are, but who was talking 4 years ago about Dan Campbell, offensive genius?
Well, that's why I love Ben Johnson really, so much, because I think when Ben Johnson leaves, I think Detroit's going to take a big step backwards. I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll find out next year how much
but
of a step backwards.
Ben Johnson might not be in the position to be the offensive guru that he was. Look, Josh McDaniels, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant offensive mind at the front of the room in two different locations. He has not succeeded, whether it be in Denver or Las Vegas. But that doesn't mean that he is not a brilliant offensive guy, and he might have been a victim of circumstance in those positions. But whatever. I think it's this team needs culture and direction and stability at the top as opposed to whiz kid.
Okay, well, Vrabel, I agree with you. Vrabel brings a lot of that.
Yeah.
And it is safe, and it is high floor, and who knows, maybe it's a home run because he would bring a lot of those things to the table.
Are we going
to
get Jerod Mayo back on Quick Slants anytime soon, Tom?
Radio silence so far.
Oh!
Interesting.
Oh.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. What do you think he does? Does he do anything this year, you think? Or upcoming year, I mean?
Bugs.
What was that?
My phone sucks. I didn't hear the whole question.
Do you think Mayo does anything this year? Like, you know, is he a coaching assistant somewhere or an advisor?
I'm really curious.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll be over it and just say, you know what? I didn't really have a blast the last 2 or 3 years as an assistant. I never became a defensive coordinator. Then I was a head coach and I was strapped to a bad situation. I got hammered the entire time. I made a ton of mistakes. And I now have to start way back and start climbing again. Does he want to do that? Is he that passionate about it? Does he say, you know what? I'm over it. I'll be interested to hear.
I'm interested to hear if he punches back at Elliot Wolf or anybody else
yeah.
In any ways coming up. But we'll follow that for sure. Tommy Curran, excellent stuff as always. You can check him out. NBC Sports Boston, his latest is up there as well on the decision to move on from Gerard Mayo. Some interesting details in there about Mike Vrabel as well. And you can check him out tonight on Quick Slants. Tom, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much. All right.
There we go. Bye-bye.
Okay, there it is. Tommy Curran. Shaky phone. At least on his end. He sounded fine on our end.
We could hear him clearly. I don't think he could hear us clearly.
So interesting stuff. By the way, while we were talking to Tommy Curran, you know who just got an interview?
What just happened? No, who?
The Bengals plan to interview Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington for their defensive coordinator.
To do what? To do what?
For their defensive coordinator.
They want him to be the defensive coordinator?
They're going to interview him. It doesn't mean they want him. They're going to interview
him. I mean, if you're interviewing somebody, you at least have to have some maybe thought that you could hire the person.
Yep.
Why? Do they see this defense?
I don't.
Actually, they did week one. They're like, it's pretty good defense.
Ah, great defense.
What happened to the other 16 games?
They slapped the crap out of us.
That's true. Week one, that's what it is. You guys were good week one. What the hell happened?
We really like that. Yeah.
Isn't he the Pats defensive coordinator? How is he doing interviews?
Okay, wow. So
they fired a good coach so they could interview him.
Man.
Yeah, Lou Anaromo.
There's
discussion.
Who overlapped with Ben Johnson in Miami.
There's discussion if Ben Johnson were to come here, maybe he could be the DC here in New England.
Wow.
But that, of course, would mean they'd have to hire Ben Johnson. Talking to Curran, Vrabel's a done deal. I mean, we're reading between the lines.
I would say, I felt that way all along.
No, me too,
I'm happy that they're interviewing Ben Johnson, and I'm happy that he accepted it. That's a good sign. But doesn't it feel like Ben Johnson to Chicago, Mike Vrabel to New England are the two obvious ones?
I told you earlier in the show, I'd take Vrabel over the field. That's not what I personally would do, but if I had to wager on what they would do, I feel even more strongly after listening to him.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a real search. I asked him, what do you expect? Is it two names or is there anybody else? He's like, I don't know, two names. That's what it is.
Maybe Bobby Slowick.
It's Ben Johnson, and if Ben Johnson chooses the Bears, it's Vrabel, and you're right. He's probably choosing the Bears, so you're stuck with Vrabel, and that's what you're doing. It's safe. It could wind up working out. It's better than Mayo. It's an improvement.
No, it is.
But I am not jazzed up about that. Maybe you are. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Interesting, too. He referenced a couple of different times unprompted all the finger-pointing, backbiting, the dysfunction with this organization. So we'll get back into that, along with all your thoughts right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Cosmic Kids. The Bruins look to snap their four-game losing streak when they host the Edmonton Oilers tonight. The Oilers are on a three-game winning streak. Puck drop at the Garden is at 7 o'clock. Celtics close out their four-game road trip tonight in Denver against the Nuggets. Tip-off at Ball Arena is at 10 o'clock. According to Mark Daniels of Mass Live, the plan is for Mike Vrabel to interview with the Patriots this week. According to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, the Bengals plan to interview Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington for their DC job on Wednesday. The Titans have fired general manager Rand Carthon after two seasons. Tennessee has the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft. And Wildcard Weekend in the NFL begins this Saturday. You can hear the call of all the games right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. Westwood One's coverage begins on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Cost for Kids, no more stressing over your old vehicle. Donate it today and get it picked up tomorrow. It's the easiest service out there. Donate online at costforkids.org. That's cars with a K. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
And the fact that Mike Vrabel, their former linebacker, someone who's very highly thought of in their building, interviewed with the Jets, had a very, very positive meeting with the Jets, is a free agent, is available, is expected to have interest, may or may not have triggered the timing, but either way, Tom, I would absolutely expect Mike Vrabel to be a top candidate, if not the top candidate in New England.
I was Ian Rappaport. Mike Vrabel, the candidate. I think Curran pretty much just told you that.
At this point, he'd be shocked if it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I already assumed that, but I was hoping Ben Johnson had more of a chance than it appears that he does, because I leave that interview with Curran thinking it's a done deal.
What if he comes in and just knocks their socks off? Their socks are off by the end of the interview.
I think even if he came in and knocked it out of the park with an interview.
Doesn't matter.
I don't think so.
Like, well, we interviewed Ben Johnson. All you Ben Johnson people, we interviewed him. We like Vrabel better.
I don't think you
never gave anybody else a chance.
We talked about Kevin O'Connell earlier in the show.
Yeah.
I think, if I had to guess, they're not even going to call about that.
No.
And maybe it's a waste of time and a fool's errand because the Vikings would never do it. And they go, the Vikings would never do it. We're not even going to bother. You should bother. So
yeah.
I don't I think they're so locked in on Vrabel, it's not funny. And I always kind of believed that, but I was hoping that the door was more open. Talking to Curran, I don't think that door's open.
No.
And that's not definitively what he said, but reading between the lines on what he said, that's, I think, effectively
I
what
think,
he said.
And not to go back to this old joke, this old chestnut, but when they said they hired, or Kraft said he hired Mayo 5 years ago, honest to God, I bet in his mind he hired Vrabel 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Because he was probably thinking...
Wait, probably at least a year ago when he was in the owner's suite, he hired him.
I would think even before that. Because, but there
was
a
2 years ago.
But when Vrabel was at his peak, which was the AFC Championship year, what, 3 or 4 years ago with the Titans, I bet he was thinking in the back of his mind, well, we're about to push Brady out the door because he's old. We're going to have to move on from Bill at some point. If I could have my pick right then,
yeah,
he would have taken Vrabel. But the thought then was, Vrabel's going to be in Tennessee for 10 years. Like, Vrabel's... Where's Vrabel going to go?
Well, and it explains away, again, in part, why they put in writing, Gerard Mayo, you're the next guy. He didn't think Vrabel was going to go anywhere.
Exactly. Because I remember doing shows, I'm sure you do too, where people would just sort of speculate, like, wouldn't Vrabel be a great Bill replacement? People are like, yeah, but it's unrealistic.
Well,
and that was like years ago.
I always said no, because I always said, well, I want no one like, connected to Bill, but yeah.
Sure, but like a ton of fans were saying that.
A ton of fans. A ton of fans are still saying it. He's winning in a runaway. The Quick Slants poll question that we just referenced is 54% of the fans want him, which I think is nuts.
And even before, but I'm saying even before it soured with Bill, like we saw even the Cam season, I'm saying like 2019 when you knew you're like, all right, this isn't a Super Bowl team, but they're winning a lot of games. And then you ended up losing in the playoffs to Vrabel. You're like, holy smokes, how could you get this guy? That was 5 years ago. I bet Kraft had those same thoughts.
Yeah.
And then he didn't think he was going anywhere. So he guaranteed the job to Mayo. And then he's like, holy crap. This was a mistake. And, oh, by the way, Vrabel's available. So I don't think he's going to pass up on Vrabel.
So news of the day is that Mike Vrabel will interview with the Patriots. Both he and Ben Johnson are going to interview. We also have news that DeMarcus Covington is going to interview with the Cincinnati Bengals. If you have thoughts on any of that, you can jump in. 617-779-7937. That's for their defensive coordinator position, by the way.
He's,
according to Tom Pelissero,
he's the Pats defensive coordinator.
He is for now.
Yeah.
All right. And I've been saying to you guys, we're good as a what? We're good as a what? Unit. As a unit.
I forgot about that.
That's as bad. That might be worse than anything Mayo did. At least Mayo didn't do call
you guys
response.
Know me.
You guys, like, what?
DC the DC. You guys know me.
Yeah.
What do I always say?
You like, said it, I didn't.
What do you
Wait,
say?
I don't know. You just We're barely not started doing press conference. With you.
We barely know you. You guys know what I say. You know the old catchphrase around here.
We do?
Yeah, we're a unit. You got to do your due diligence? No, job. Job. Sorry, I thought it was due diligence.
But it makes sense. Their defense smacked the crap out of the Bengals in week one, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, put him on the list.
I would not hire him. Did you have any takeaways from Curran before we get some of these phone calls about the Elliott Wolf discussion?
Yeah, Curran doesn't like Wolf. Curran is kind of like you and I, where you're just like, I thought the great relationship was Kraft and Mayo. And so if Kraft severed that, what's keeping Wolf around? Why, like, how are those guys all of a sudden so close? Are they Thunder buddies? Are they sneaky Thunder buddies that we didn't know about?
I have a theory, and it's just a theory.
All right, let's hear the theory.
You need a guy. If you're an owner, you need a guy in the locker room, and you need people who tell you stuff, and not that he's in the locker room per se, but you need somebody in football ops.
A mole?
Yeah. Relay you in for what's Snitch. Really going, what's going on in there? Like, what's really happening in there? And I guess I thought Mayo would have been that guy. I now wonder if Wolf's that guy.
Honestly, if Wolf just took Ladd McConkey, it'd be a completely different story.
Yes.
If he took, I mean, I know it's
Drake
a big
May,
if.
Joe Milton, Ladd McConkey.
Sign me up.
What a,
this guy,
what
into
a
the
draft.
Future we go. Let's go.
That's yeah. Curtis Martin, legit, Ted Johnson, Teddy Bruschi.
That's a great draft.
It is.
All you had to do is draft an all-pro wide receiver.
All you had to do was sit there and take the guy who was getting taken anyway.
Right. Didn't have to move up. Didn't have to get creative.
Didn't have to move anywhere.
Take best available 3, best available 34, and we're talking about a completely different story.
We should ask the callers about this, though. 617-779-7937. Ladd McConkey or...
Yeah.
Jalen Polk and Javon Baker.
So it's two players?
Yeah.
Two Dragons?
Uh-huh.
I'll take Ladd McConkey.
So I now
Who's
wonder,
playing in the playoffs this weekend, by the way?
Yes. If you're unfamiliar with Ladd McConkey.
He torched the Patriots.
You
torched the Patriots.
Good point. You shouldn't be.
Yeah, you know Ladd McConkey
but
now.
But it was around the holidays. Maybe you tuned out there for a little bit. Wouldn't blame you if you did. You can sit down and watch him this weekend. One more item is that Elliott Wolf is still here, and I've been told that, you need people to run the operation. You can't fire your GM right away because people need to do that job. The Wolfpack is still here.
Yeah.
However, Titans GM Ranrick?
Ranrick.
Ranrick Cornell Carthon, as we learned earlier today.
What a mouthful.
Ran.
Two and done. Two and done. Not one and done. Two and done.
Correct.
He was there long enough to fire Vrabel, and then he got the number one pick in the draft.
But he's been fired.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's been fired. So somebody else, as the text line pointed out to me, somebody else has to go turn out the lights there, which is weird. I had heard that's what you got to do.
Good point by Clappy Cheeks 10 in the Twitch chat.
Always good points
by
Clappy
Cheeks 10. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Good hit rate. Jalen Polk ended up being the third best receiver out of Washington this year.
Yep.
It's true.
McMillan's good.
McMillan had another touchdown this weekend. Also going to be in the playoffs this weekend.
Odunze, I like.
Yeah.
McMillan, good. Yep. Your guy?
No.
Stinkfest.
Not very good.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Lottie waiting patiently. Keith's in Nantucket. Go ahead, Keith.
Hi, this is Keith. I was calling about Vrabel and Johnson. Vrabel's the culture that the team needs. He won 54 games in the NFL. He's, you know, overseen special teams, defense, personnel, all kinds of stuff.
Has he?
We don't need a rookie coach coming in that just is the flashy guy of the day that runs an offense.
Offense is pretty important. Offense pretty important. I know you led with special teams there, Keith, but offense is
pretty important.
Yep.
First pick in the draft, I would pick an offensive tackle. Okay. Mike Vrabel is going to, you know, bring in a beast. He's going to bring in a tackle like Joe Alt, or he's going to bring in a Richard Seymour.
Yeah, well,
what the hell?
Hi, this is Keith.
Well,
you kind of lost the thread there. So Richard Seymour, offensive tackle? Well, I remember him famously on the other side.
I think is what he's saying. Beast.
Oh, Haas.
Like Joe Alt.
So he's with me. Best Haas available is not a bad pick.
Best Haas available.
I saw
Jordan Reed, mock drafted ESPN today, had them taking Banks fourth overall. That's who people feel is the top tackle.
I don't understand poo-pooing the offensive genius.
Me neither.
Why is that something we're doing?
Vrabel did go 54-45.
I was going to say, he mentions the wins, doesn't mention the losses.
He won two playoff games. They were both in the same year. He did go to the AFC title.
Beat the Pats.
Other than that, he was one and done twice. He had two losing seasons.
Yeah.
He was out of football last... I keep saying out of football. He was not a coach last year. Right, he was an advisor with... they were
Browns?
Pretty good. They were pretty good, I think. Yeah, the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. Is where he was advisor last year.
He advised them pretty
well. If he didn't advise them, they'd be a two-win team.
Yeah.
Or a three-win team with his advice. They would have been a two-win team.
I don't mind Vrabel, but by no means is he like a perfect candidate.
Well, and I'm blown away at the people who want Vrabel at all costs and are poo-pooing Ben Johnson. Now,
you know what's weird?
I get, though, the backlash against the first-year head coach. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not, but I do understand the reticence, and I think I told you midway through the year, Keith, I'm like, I am warming up to the idea of a Vrabel or Flores type because of how ill-equipped Mayo was for the job. And so does a first-year coach scare me? I guess to a degree.
First-year head coaches turn teams around all the time.
But is that a strike against Ben Johnson? I shouldn't say it scares me. But is it a strike against Ben Johnson? Sure, I guess, when you're lining up his resume against Vrabel's.
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah, I that would not deter me from hiring a guy. And talking to Curran, it sounds like it would deter the crafts from doing it, for sure.
Mm. I don't know. It feels very safe, and I just wonder what the outlook is for the 5 years. Like maybe right away, I think Kraft is really concerned. It's funny because we've heard him over the last couple of years really alter his goals and expectations. Remember, it was win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Then it was win a playoff game.
Then it was get to the playoffs.
Make the playoffs, right? Yeah. So he's
then this last year, he's like, I don't know, it could be a long year.
Yeah. I feel like Vrabel can get you to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's great. Trust me, after watching this last place team, you want to get back to the, you got to start somewhere.
Yes.
Hopefully championships.
Hopefully.
But Curran even pointed out too, as much as he likes Vrabel, who's his offensive coordinator going to be? And is that guy really good?
Tommy Rees.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't like that.
I don't know.
That's a strike against Vrabel.
Yeah. Okay.
It's who's his OC going to be? I know people want, you can't get Daboll. He's staying with the Giants.
Yeah.
People like the name Josh McDaniels. I wouldn't go near Josh McDaniels. Tommy Rees maybe could be good, but he spent last year in Cleveland, too. What's he ever done? 617-779-7937. Busy Tuesday. We talked to Tommy Curran. That's up now on the Odyssey app. You can go check that out. We'll get it up on YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. We did our tiers earlier today of all the NFL playoff teams. Check them out at Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram. And on the way next, Kiefer Madness. It's a creature feature, I'm told. That's next.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
Why do you think an alien would wear a wig?
I think for aesthetic reasons.
A Bigfoot murdered three guys on a dope farm.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe. It's brought to you by Awaken 180. Start the new year risk-free with Awaken 180. No subscriptions, no hidden fees, just a proven plan to crush your goals. Have 20 to lose? You could reach that by February. Have more? Do the math. Then go to awaken180weightloss.com. But before we get to this creature feature story, Jones, we have an update on a head coaching candidate here in New England.
We do. We knew about Ben Johnson. We knew about Mike Vrabel. We asked Tom Curran for more names. We now have one. According to Mike Jones of The Athletic, Byron Leftwich.
Byron Leftwich.
Tom Brady's offensive coordinator in Tampa, former Jags quarterback.
Okay, Super Bowl winner.
Byron Leftwich is interviewing for the New England Patriots head coaching job today, I'm told.
Nice.
Byron Leftwich, out of football last year.
And the year before.
Last seen as the Bucs offensive coordinator. You're right. It's been 2 years.
So he's had 2 years to prepare for this interview.
He was fired in January of 2023.
The first
interview, right? Ben Johnson's going to interview. Vrabel's going to interview. This is their first interview, a man outside of football for 2 years, though, as you said, a Super Bowl champion.
Jones, offensive guy, not in the Belichick tree, checks a couple of boxes.
Well, it's true.
Leave it at that.
That's a good point. Maybe he comes in and they go, yeah, so why are you a good candidate for the job? He's like, well, I won with Tom Brady just like you guys.
Quarterback. I won with Tom Brady.
I won with Brady.
Not that hard.
Yeah, I did what you guys did. What do you mean?
I'm overqualified.
What do you mean, how am I qualified? Yeah. You won with Brady, I won with Brady.
Me and McDaniel, Spider-Man meme. We're the same guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. So there's that. We can add that to the pile here coming up.
Handicap them real quick. Ben Johnson, Mike Vrabel, Byron Leftwich. Which one do you power rank those most likely to get the job?
All right, I would go Vrabel, Johnson, Leftwich.
Okay, I think
it's an inexact science, Jones. That's what I landed on.
I think I would do the same.
Yeah.
If there's more candidates, I'd put them in front of Leftwich.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will continue to update you as that goes along. But, Jones, let's go to the great state of Texas. Everything bigger in Texas, including scandal.
17-year-old Leander ISD student is now charged with felony animal cruelty.
I don't enjoy doing animal cruelty stories. In fact,
animal cruelty.
Yeah, 17-year-old girl. A animal cruelty story. So, not for the faint of heart. I should have given this a parental guidance warning. This is not for everybody.
18-year-old Leander ISD student is now charged with felony animal cruelty after allegedly poisoning a classmate's show goat with a pesticide.
Killed a show goat.
It said poisoned. It killed them.
Poisoned to death.
All the way to death. Light poisoning.
Heavy poisoning.
Too much poison.
Or just the right amount if you're trying to kill the animal.
Well, I have a theory on why. Okay. I don't know this story. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're going to get it as to why she
did it. No, it's not like a rival.
Maybe.
There's a goat show going on, so they show them like dogs?
A show goat. Yeah, they show goats.
Okay.
You know, who has the best goat, who has the fattest goat.
Show goat won a bunch of Golden Globes the other night.
Goat cheese.
Yeah, did very well.
Yeah, it did.
At the Globes.
Show gun. Yeah.
So I was going to guess a rival.
Could be a rival.
A rival goat shower, but I guess I'm wrong.
Nah.
According to an arrest affidavit, Cedar Park police arrested Aubrey Van Landingham.
Is that a real name? So we've had what did we have earlier today? We had a Ranrick, and then now we have a...
Cedar Park police arrested Aubrey Van Landingham.
Yeah, it sounds fake.
Yeah. What's your name? Van Landingham.
Winchesterton Bill.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
In November for, quote, intentionally and knowingly torturing the animal at Vista Ridge High School. KVU's Jessica Cha breaks down what led up to the student's arrest and how neighbors are reacting.
Good.
It was a Wednesday on October.
It's a guy on a tractor. Which
taking
I don't,
a pavement?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
A jackhammer.
That was a guy flying around on a tractor. Apparently they needed that.
Okay.
A lot of farming involved here.
Yeah.
You get goats.
You got to set the scene.
Yeah, exactly. And they sure did.
October 23rd at Vista Ridge High School's Future Farmers of America Agricultural Facility.
Not for me, by the way. The Future Farmers Club of America?
No.
I'm out. I'm out of that. Like I've said many times, I'm an indoor cat. I appreciate nature and animals.
You were like a 4-H guy in high school?
No, I was not.
It's New Hampshire.
True.
A lot of 4-H going on in Vermont.
Nope, I was inside quite a bit. I like the indoors. The great indoors is my favorite.
It's just a half mile down the road from the school. That's where security cameras caught 17-year-old Aubrey Van Landingham grabbing supplies, walking to the goat pen with a syringe-like item, and forcing it into a goat's mouth several times.
Yeah, this is premeditated and then some. Yeah. This is not an accidental poisoning.
No, it's not Harry and Lloyd.
No.
wrong.
A happy accident.
Wrong box of pills.
No. God, no. She knew exactly what she was doing.
Cedar Park police say that was the second time in a 3-day span Van Landingham fed Willie, the 6-month-old goat, a toxic pesticide.
Willie?
Yeah.
The Willie goat. The Willie goat. 6 months. Like, I mean, this is cruel and unusual. 6-month-old goat.
So did the... Maybe they'll explain this.
Maybe.
Did the first dose... not taken. She's like, man, I got to ratchet this up. No. Or was it like you had to do it over time?
I think she was like, probably realized that didn't work. Let me up the dose.
Goat's still kicking?
That's my goat. The goats survived that? What the hell?
Double that.
What kind of hero goat is this?
Eventually killing it.
Yeah, I hear the animals all the times and, you know, you think that they're having a good life there. And
Selma Diaz lives a block from the agricultural facility.
So we had to talk to her.
Yeah. She lives close by.
She doesn't know the person or the goat or anything, but she lives around
she
here.
She walked past the goat.
We talked about it. We talked to her.
She smells the goat pen.
Yeah, but she sure does.
And is a Vista Ridge graduate.
Yeah, it was very shocking to hear what happened there because especially, you know, when you're in that program, you're supposed to have such a love for animals.
Dia says being in FFA was extremely popular when she was in school.
Sure about that? You sure about being in the Future Farm Club was popular?
Yeah, well, when
I mean, times have changed.
When she was in high school. Yeah, exactly.
Times have changed. Yeah. It was the cool place to be. Yeah, the goat shows. That was the cool kids.
It's like when Channing Tatum has to go back in 21 Jump Street. He's like, what's going on at this high school?
Yeah. Times are changing. Yeah, That's true.
And she says it's a tradition for some families that span generations. Investigators say Van Landingham, a member of the FFA, admitted to poisoning Willie when they arrested her in November.
So they caught her on camera,
yep.
Then she admitted to it.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to find out why she did it. So you just think rival goat shows.
That was my guess. She's got a goat that she's trying to show. This is an unbeatable goat.
Always coming in second, always losing to Willie.
Yeah,
and said, I'm going to take out Willie? I'm going to murder him with poison.
Yeah, sometimes you need to resort to cheating tactics. Yeah. The Patriots know.
It's interesting that you said that. Huh.
They say the reason why she did it is because Willie's owner is, quote, a cheater, and Aubrey doesn't like cheaters.
Got it.
She's a cheater, and I don't like cheaters.
Mm.
That's some sort of, like, villain origin story. Mm. Like, this is a girl that has problems. Like, I don't think this is going to be fixable. So she doesn't like a girl, and she's like, how do I get at this girl? I'm going to murder her goat. So it's animal cruelty. That's always the first. I've seen enough serial killer documentaries to know that the first thing they kill are animals.
Yeah.
They torture and abuse animals. And then they thought they were kind of strange as a kid. Like, no.
I've normalized this, so now
humans. Humans are next
step. Yeah.
Sort of a warning to this girl, who apparently is a cheater. They didn't really dig too much into that.
Well, right. Does this mean cheating in the goat shows or cheating in her personal life?
On boyfriends, on tests.
Homework, yeah, exactly.
It could be anything.
Sure.
Education, friendships.
They say the reason why she did it is because Willie's owner is, quote, a cheater, and Aubrey doesn't like cheaters.
That's a crazy thing to
say.
Like,
she's
put that out there, like, she's a cheater and I don't like cheaters.
Like, murder bad. Murdering animals bad, cheating worse.
Cheating much worse.
Yeah.
They also say they found Google searches for how much bleach can kill an animal, as well as videos and pictures of Willie convulsing sent to the victim's mother on Van Landingham's phone.
Oh, no.
Next level, right? Like, she is going to be a serial killer if we don't stop her.
I think she's been stopped.
As a society.
She's
been stopped for now, but I feel like killing a goat, slap on the wrist. They're going to wait and be like, oh, how do we see this coming?
Well, it's felony.
Like, we all saw this.
It's a felony.
That's true. But she's a minor.
Oh, good point.
She'll be out. She'll be also, having coffee tomorrow morning.
Also, how good of a Google search did she do when...
How much bleach?
You had to go back a second time, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know if those answers are really... But how about the next level of taking a video of it happening and sending it to the person?
Yeah, that's
insane.
That's dark.
To go a couple of days poisoning the goat on purpose is just... It's just so heartless.
We also reached out to the victim's family for comment. We have not yet heard back. Leander ISD has yet to confirm if Van Landingham is still attending Vista Ridge High School. She is scheduled to appear in a Williamson County court on January 15th.
Okay.
In Cedar Park, Jessica Chalk, KB News.
Sheesh. So we'll have to wait a week for her to be in court and see what happens from there.
I don't think it's going to go well.
I don't
think she copped to it and there's video of it?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to go well for her. It shouldn't go well for her.
No. They actually talked to another witness that was two blocks away, and this is what he said.
Hey, I too had sex with a goat.
That was a different setup altogether.
It's like, sir, that's not what she's accused of.
No, not me. No, not.
That doesn't make it look so bad now, does it?
Yeah, right.
Never mind. At least I didn't kill it.
Grazing goats, horses, and chickens.
The farm club.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It's competitive, that.
Yoga with goats.
Future Farmers of America is a competitive thing. She took it too far.
It popular.
She did, just by a smidge.
Pretty scary stuff, though. So just be safe out there.
So that's Kiefer Madness.
Yep.
Each and every Tuesday here on Jones and Keith. You can dial us up. Lottie waiting patiently at 617-779-7937. The Patriots coaching search, now that Gerard Mayo is out the door. Why is Elliott Wolff still here? Teams are firing their GMs. You are allowed to fire your GM. Ran Rick Carthon out in Tennessee. We'll get to your feedback when we come back.
No, there isn't one goat. There's many goats.